Prophet Jason Leopard. Come expecting your miracle. God has something for you tonight. Stay tuned. You can find us on Instagram Live, Telegram Live. You can email us at jason@kingdomwealthnow.co. Or you can visit us on our website at www.godsavingministries.com. Or you can tune in 24 hours a day and listen to the radio station, Kingdom Radio, at www.thekingdomradio.com. Or you can go to the podcast at www.thekingdompodcast.com. There you will find archives of all the messages we have preached. If you're looking to start a business online or go to our online school, email me for more information at jason@kingdomwealthnow.co. Or you can sign up for our daily Word from God email at connect.godsavingministries.com. If you want to financially support us, you can also go to Venmo at God Saving Ministries. Or do you have Cash App at God Saving Ministries? Stay tuned. Prophet Jason Leopard. All right, guys. Welcome to Miracle Night. You got a surprise tonight if you're listening on the radio. Thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on Instagram, thank you for tuning in. If you're listening on Telegram, we're on Telegram too, guys. Listen, if you're not on our email list, you're not knowing what we're doing. So I really advise you to get connected to our email list. That way you know what's going on in the ministry, what we got new going on. We got something new coming up tonight. We're going to start it. Every other night, we're going to do Miracle Night. And every other night, we're going to do Marriage 101. But tonight, we're going to do Marriage 101. We're going to be helping marriages come to a place in God, that a marriage needs to come to a place in God. So we're going to be helping a lot of married folks. Who knows? The devil is trying to destroy marriages. I looked up the rate the other day. It's 87% rate in America, just in America, divorce rates. So we're going to allow God, as God begins to fix my marriage and mold my marriage, we're going to share with y'all what God is doing in our marriage to help your marriage. God said what you do for others, he'll do for you. So we're going to get started. But we're going to be in Genesis tonight. So if you okay, we're going to be in Genesis tonight. They'll tune in when they tune in, I guess. Anyways, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3, guys. Genesis chapter 3, and I want to begin in the garden. Amen? In the garden. Hello, hello. Marriage 101 tonight. If you're a married person, if you're in a relationship, welcome tonight. Welcome, welcome, and welcome. We're going to be talking about Marriage 101. I got my wife here tonight with me. Instagram, there she is. And there she is on Telegram. Hello, Telegram. And Radio World, we welcome you, Penny Leopard, tonight. That's my wife. We're going to be sharing what God is doing in our marriage, how God broke our marriage to make our marriage, how God put two hurting people together to mold something. And see, sometimes we shake our head at God and wonder why, how, when. But see, God does the impossible. If we love God and if we love each other, and that's a key to marriage, you got to have love there, guys, on both sides. If not, it's not going to work. We're going to be talking about, well, hold on, guys. Let me look this up, King James. We're going to be in the King James Version tonight. So stay tuned, guys. We're going to be hearing stuff my wife has to say tonight. Hello. Hello, guy. Hello, everybody. We're going to be talking some good stuff tonight, so you want to stay tuned, okay? We are still working on our text to give. If you want to give to the ministry later on tonight, this afternoon, we're going to be on text to give. We're trying to get that up and going. That way you can text us to support the ministry, if that's what God is telling you to do tonight. Anyways, I'm going to try to go on here. I'm trying to. There we go. It's sliding. Okay, we're going to be in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and we're going to be talking about I'm going to go over scripture, and then I'm going to get my wife to comment and see what God has to say to her about this, or maybe her input. The reason why I say this, because a marriage takes two. Not just your input, but the other one's input too. So, but let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and it says, "Now the serpent was more subtile in any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman." Okay, let's stop right there. He said. My opinion with women is they love words. See, that word, when I read that, and he said. Otherwise, the enemy was talking to Eve. So then it says, "Yea, God has said, you shall not eat out of the tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but," she always had a but there, "but of the fruit of the tree in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." So Eve knew the truth. She knew the truth. But see, even knowing the truth does not mean that you're hungry for something. And that's how Satan gets in a marriage. When you're hungry for something, he tempts a man with certain things that the flesh needs. But see, when we're walking in the spirit, we don't need fleshly things. And we're going to get into that later on in the marriage too, because I know in my past, my flesh needs things. But see, we don't need to be dwelling in this flesh. If we're a child of God, we need to be walking in the spirit. It says, "Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So we're going to be talking about that later on. But tonight we're going to concentrate on the man and the woman. But of the fruit of the tree that which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, "You shall eat it, nevertheless you die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "You shall not surely die." So see, he made her doubt. That's what one key of a marriage Satan tries to hit with each other, making us doubt. Well, does she really love me? See, that's doubt. Or does he really love me? That's doubt. What do you think about that?
Well, words are powerful. They can bring life, they can bring death. I've heard it said, actions speak louder. Well, that's true, but there's also other issues with words. Whispering in your ear or out loud, you know, just hearing the doubt put there, it's going to back up communication errors with a married couple, or with, you know, with your partner, whether it's your spouse or your husband or your wife. You know, the communication is words. You got to talk. Communication is a big deal in a marriage. I'm trying to get these words the way. Lord, help me. Communication is a key. So when the serpent spoke to Eve, telling her, "Nah, you won't die," she doubted and she proceeded and she ate of the fruit. There's consequences. So words, you know, when you speak, the words are powerful either a positive way or a negative way. But there's always going to be words, especially if you're communicating. I hope that makes sense. If you're not communicating, you're just listening to all these other voices and spirits that's around us that cause us to doubt, do things we shouldn't, say things we shouldn't. So, yes, words are powerful, and they can tear you down or they can build you up. And in a marriage, words, communication is key.
So, communication, but what made Eve, I guess what my wife is trying to say here, what made Eve doubt God? Because she knew the truth. And see, that's what the devil does in marriages too. He tells a lie. Mm-hmm. Well, she hates me. She don't love me. If she loved me, she'd be doing this, 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 right. That, and this, or vice versa.
Right.
If he loved me, see, he sows doubt in a marriage, just like he sowed doubt with God. Satan is key to sowing doubt in any circumstances, even with God, even relationships. And we are married to God first, guys.
Yes.
And when we, and I'm going to tell you, man, something God has just recently showed me, and I'm going to show you something.
He is a groom, we are his bride. You know, he must be the center of everything, and he is what has held us together.
Yeah.
Through doubt, through trials, tribulations, just through a lot of things. Everything he has held us. Mm-hmm. Because we do love each other. But we love God first and foremost, most of all. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to putting him there in the center at the beginning. And if you'll think the tree said in the midst of the garden, in the midst of something, yes, it was in there, but there was specific. So it sounds like they're saying in the middle. In the midst of the garden. So, you know, and then he whispered to her, "No, you shouldn't surely die." So that's a doubt. Just like he does, like Jason said, in a marriage. He can sow doubt in your workplace. Co-workers, but we're here talking about marriage, our relationship with our spouse.
I was trying to find something here, guys, while she was talking to you guys. I'm going to show you something, men, God has recently showed me. With lust. All right. Now, I'm going to define lust, guys. We're going to find lust. If you look at lust in the Greek, it means desire.
It's a burning desire. Lust is strong. It's a burning desire. And we're speaking on lust of the flesh, but there's many forms, types of things you can lust over, but this is specifically talking about physical, human nature type lust. we're trying, he's going to read these scriptures too and about.
We're in 5, guys. Matthew 5, 27. It starts in 27.
Matthew
5 and 27. I want to read this to you guys because this is very important. 27, verse 27, it says, "Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt not by no means come out of thence. Thou shalt pay all thy fastings," blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that didn't. Matthew 27 through 28. Okay. All right, 27 through 28. All right. And it says, "Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out of thence till thou hast paid the most honor of fathering." It says, 27 says, "You have heard that it is said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery," right? "But I say unto you that whosoever means anybody, means a man or a woman," it didn't talk specific of a man or a woman. It just said whosoever. Yeah. So this could be referring to a man or a woman. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. "That whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Now, nothing on here said anything about marriage. Didn't say your wife, didn't mm-hmm. say nothing. But we look at the word adultery, and it is being unfaithful to something. But in this scripture, he's referring whosoever, so it could be anybody.
Either or.
And then he's talking about whoever looketh upon a woman. But see, he uses the illustration of a woman because we find out that we men mostly lust over women, right? So he's using that illustration. The reason I'm saying this, because lust can come in forms of any kind of way.
Oh, yeah. That tongue.
Of desiring something or hearing something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women struggle with wanting to hear what a man's got to say to them or encouraging. We notice what we took in Genesis chapter 3 were the enemy said. But mm-hmm. see, it's the words to, it was the words that entice Eve to fall.
Yep.
See, she knew what God had said, but the enemy always comes back and makes it look a little sweeter every time.
Yep.
To entice us to desire. Let me tell you an example. He'll tell you, "Your wife don't love you. Why don't you just go look at another one, right?" And then he'll tell your wife, "Hey, he don't love you. He's looking at other women. Why you have sex with him? You don't want to have sex with him tonight because he's looking at other women. Let's get real here tonight."
Yeah, be transparent without being...
We don't have to be vulgar tonight. No. We just have to be transparent because...
Be honest.
If God's going to heal something, you've got to be honest.
Yep, you've got to lay it out there on the table.
But see, the enemy lies to us, and he tells the man, well, you need to go elsewhere because she's not giving you no sex, so you need to go look at another woman. Come on. Men do it all the time. I know. But see, here's the thing. You've got to be open and honest and transparent for God to heal anything.
You got to learn to be transparent and open with each other. You think not so much at first, but then you know it's everything.
Right.
And there's sometimes things that one may want that the other one don't realize that they do or they like. You know, I'm not. You know, it's just a communication issue. But that comes, like he was saying back in Genesis 3, there it come right back up in here, the words. Women were guilty just as much as the men are of, you know, somebody can tell you, "Oh, you look nice today," or "Your hair's pretty," or "You got pretty eyes," or, you know, they just say things and you think to yourself, "Well, I wish my husband said that." Well, when you think about it, it's lust, because lust is a strong desire. You really desire it. It's a burning desire. And it can be for many things, like I said earlier, but this is talking about each other and people outside of your relationship, whether it be Satan trying to get me to, you know, hearing someone say something, or whether it's him getting, you know, deprived, or for whatever reason. And it's, you know, it's if you don't communicate, it ends up a mess. And I'm speaking honestly from my heart. We've got to talk to each other.
It says, I can feel lust as a heat on my skin from a man, from men. Okay. I don't know what that means, but yeah. Not sure what that's saying. So, but anyways, we notice Jesus says in 29 here, it says, if your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. If your right eye offend thee, pluck it out. And then he says, "It's and cast it from thee. It's proper for these that had one member should perish, not the whole body, to go to hell. And the right eye offend thee, cut it off." So how do you cut this adultery off? He just said it, plain and simple, cut it off. You don't go back and look at it. You don't go back and play with it. When God delivers you of something, don't go back to it. Mm-mm. Period. Cut it off. But notice it said offend. It says offend you. See, I'm going to tell you guys something. Let's go to Galatians.
In that specific scripture, offend, if it bothers you, if it causes you to fall, if it causes conflict, get rid of it. Cut it off.
That's right.
The end.
Avoid it. Don't feed
easier
into it.
Easier said than done. That's right. We've been there. We're talking from experience, not just getting on here and yapping, but, you know, it's things we've learned. Never too old to learn.
I want to show you guys something in Galatians chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to show you something. I didn't know if I was going to get this far tonight in Marriage 101, but guys, invite somebody on here that's married. We want to start helping marriages. Okay, we really feel like God is doing something in our marriage, and we want to share what God is doing to help others, because we know how it feels to go 11 years of dealing with stuff that God has recently set us free from. We were two hurt individuals God put together, scratching our head, thinking, okay, God, how are you going to do this? Because you got two hurt people together and don't know how God's going to bring it together. But what brought us mostly together over the years is love. Mm-hmm. What held us together is love. Because love comes on both sides. If your spouse don't love you, you can forget it.
And love does, for real, endure all things.
All times.
I mean, we've learned that, Lord. When it says that, it means all things. If you love someone, it does not matter. You're going to, you might not ever get over something happening, but you can get through it if you love one another. But you, when it happens, love also keeps no record of any wrong. So when it happens and it's cut off and dealt with and done, that's where it's to be left, back there, alone. It's something that, you know, it's not talked about. It's frowned upon a lot. But, you know, it's true. And sometimes, you know, you can just hear somebody talking about something that you don't have no one else to talk to about it. And you want to listen So right. words can be powerful. Somebody scrolling through here later or now, or that's hearing a bit of this, may be struggling with things and they think it's so wrong. But you know, it's not wrong. It's what's wrong is not bringing it forth. You don't have to bring it before us or what have you, but with your spouse and before God, and mainly with yourself. You have to acknowledge, yes, this is becoming an issue. Talk to your spouse. Go to God with it. The both of you go to God with it. But once it's settled, done, and over with, leave it at the foot of the cross. Don't pick it back up. Don't look back on it. Because love will endure all things. It's just, we don't understand sometimes, or we take for granted. I'm not sure which it might be, but sometimes we don't realize what we've got till it seems like it's going to go, that it's going to leave. And then you're thinking, you know, I've held back. Sometimes not so much that you've done anything wrong, but it's your past, your scars from the past, your wounds from the past. You know, you keep picking that scab off before it heals. You're just opening that wound back up. Once it scabs over and that scab comes off on its own, that wound is fully healed. Mm-hmm. So, within speaking on the wounds of the heart and of your mind and of, you know, of your marriage, of your relationship, the more you go back and try to pick at each other's flaws or something they might have done, you've not forgotten it. You won't ever forget it. I'm sorry, but you don't have to keep bringing it up. You can get, like I said, you can get through it. You might not get over it. But you don't ever keep bringing it up. You're just picking them wounds off. You know, you're just, it's getting it open and bleeding again. So until that's completely covered and healed, it's not fixed. It's not done. It's not settled. When that wound is finally, that scab falls off on its own and dries off, and you got a pretty little piece of skin that's not red or irritated and it's all sealed up, that wound is better. You're just going to have a scar. We all have scars, whether they're internal or external. It's just, go ahead.
I think the biggest thing we have problems with, and she's talking about scars, but who knows? Jesus had the biggest scars ever. 39 stripes with a cat of nine tails. He had scars all the way down his back. But here's the key. I find a message in them scars. Here's the message. They represented healing. Every disease that ever mankind ever faced. Sometimes our scars can bring us stars. It's what God showed me years ago. Sometimes scars can bring us stars. Why do we have to go through the bad to get to the good? I'll tell you why. God is doing one thing to you. He's breaking your flesh. God can't stand flesh, never could. When we bit the apple, our flesh become contaminated. God had to send a precious lamb to take our body and sacrifice his body so ours would be made holy again.
Yes.
But see, here's the thing. We're still in the flesh. Mm-hmm. We need to look at women, men, you need to have sex. No, you don't. If you're walking in the Spirit of God, you don't need none of that. Matter of fact, if you're married, it's a gift from God. But if you're not, you can be single. As Paul, he said, I was single. God called me to be single. So, you know, guys, God will sustain you. You don't need sex. You only need sex because you're walking in the flesh. And I'm going to prove it to you. Galatians chapter 5, 13, it says, "For brethren, I have called you unto liberty. Only not use not liberty an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. But all lawful law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And he says, "But you bite and devour one another, take heed that you not consume one another. That this I say, walk in the Spirit." How can we walk in a spirit? Why did he use the word walk? Because, see, walking demonstrates our lifestyle. It demonstrates our walk. See, our problem is we're walking too much in fleshly things. We don't know how to be spiritual. We think with a carnal mind. So I'm going to show you tonight how to walk in a marriage God ordained from the beginning. Mm-hmm. They were naked and they were unashamed. But when sin come in the picture, they blamed each other. See, that's what we do, right? We blame, blame, blame. "Well, she ain't giving me no sex. Well, I'm just going to go do this." See, blame, blame, blame. We don't take accountability to ourselves what we're doing if I didn't even have her.
Right.
So I'm getting to something here. And he says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not" what? "Fulfill the lust of the flesh." See, our problem is we're not after the Spirit. We're after the flesh. We're running. "Oh, I need sex. I need this. I need attention. I need this." No, you don't. You do not need them things. All you need to do is walk in the Spirit. I'm going to say that one more time. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the flesh has desires. Number one, it desires flesh. See, my wife's flesh, it desires her flesh. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, I don't desire her flesh. Why? I desire the spiritual things. See, God made it possible for us to walk in the Spirit when Jesus died, because he crucified the flesh. Through his death, we live in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. See, Adam and Eve was naked in the garden and unashamed. How was they naked? They wasn't hiding nothing. They wasn't blaming each other either.
Open.
They were open. They couldn't, and they didn't hide nothing from God either. See, when sin comes in picture, it likes to hide stuff. And man, I'm sorry, but that's what you do. Hide that on the phone. She can't listen to it. She can't watch it. See, that's what happens, though. Sin is in the picture. When we do that, we're in bondage. We need to pray for deliverance. But listen to this. I'm going to show you the Spirit against the flesh. I'm going to show you. This is this. I say, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Have you ever been around somebody that says, "Man, I want to do good. I try to do good, but something inside of me just don't let me"? Mm-hmm. We have a flesh man and we have a spirit man. Part of us wants to do what's fleshly. "I want to watch TV tonight. I don't want to get in my word. I don't want to go to church. I don't want, you know, I don't want to do the things of God." Period. The flesh don't like God. There's a part of you that does not like God at all. But there's also a part of you that wants God. Have you ever been around people like that? You think, man, they act like they love God, and 2 minutes later, they like bipolar. You know what I'm saying? They like this person. I'm going to teach you something tonight that's going to set you free from that. It says, "You not fulfill the lust of the flesh against the Spirit." Lust is against the Spirit. Notice lust. The flesh desires to be the Spirit. It does. You know that? When you lust over something, that means you desire to want it. So the flesh lust is against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. For they are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Have you ever seen the cartoons? The angel on this side, devil on this side, floating on your head? Well, that's kind of the concept I'm trying to get to here. Which person are you going to listen to the most? Same concept, guys, but it boils down to a choice. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have a wrestle within your marriage. You're always going to have a wrestle within yourself. But what triggers these things? Circumstances. Mm-hmm. Circumstances trigger these things. And then you wrestle with this in your mind. Does she love me? Does she not? Does he love me? Does she not? So, but you got to learn to say no to the flesh. And the more you say no to the flesh, you're going to be led by the Spirit and you won't fulfill what the flesh is telling you to do, right? So, let's go on with this. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which is these. Adultery, that's the first one on the list. Adultery. Mm-hmm. How do I know you're in the flesh? Because you're playing with adultery. You're looking at porn while your wife in here and you're blaming your wife. She don't give me sex, so I'm going to go run after this porn. See, you're an adulteress, period. There's no excuse. Because if she ain't, and I'm going to show you later on in the scriptures, I can't deny it, but later on in the scriptures, Paul talks about she has power over my body and I have power over hers.
Right.
See, I think in a marriage we fail responsibility. Yep. We don't have responsibility. It is a responsibility. And you know, it's not just a responsibility. It becomes, when you love one another, it becomes a want to.
Right.
Not a, I got to give him sex tonight. Bless God. Well, if you feel that way, then you're in the flesh too. And I'm going to show you. Fornication's another. Uncleanness, lavishness, adultery, witchcraft, hatred. If you got hatred, you're in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Vanity, illuminous, wrath, strife. You go around just making everybody mad, you're in the flesh. Envies, murders. But what did Jesus say a murder was? He said, the time said that thou shalt not kill, but you're a murderer because you hate your brother without a cause.
Right.
So you're a murderer. You're in the flesh. I don't care. You can hate your brother without a cause. You're in the flesh. Adultery, witchcraft, railing, such as I tell you before, I have also told you in the past. They that do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know what that means? You're not going to heaven. Period. This is what God has really bowed down and told me, Jason, you can keep playing with this stuff all you want, but if you don't repent and cut it off, then you will not go to heaven.
Right.
See, guys, one thing that scares me, this is what scares me. You remember when Jesus walks up to him and he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I don't care if you prophesy in his name. I don't care if you're a pastor tonight. I don't care who you are. God can still use you, but don't even know you. That's scary. All because this is what Jesus says. Depart from me. I never knew you because you were workers of this. You worked adultery, fornication. You worked these things. And this is why you fear not to go back into this stuff, because this stuff, it can send you to hell.
Yes.
Adultery. You know, you think you're getting by with watching that porn and your wife's sitting at home and you're just thinking you're hiding it from everybody. You're not hiding it from nobody, baby. Nobody. And God has really put the fear of God inside of me. I don't care what my wife's doing. I could care less. if she never gives me a sex again in a day in her life, I don't really care. Because what I care about, when I die, I stand before God and he says, Jason, you know what? I told you to stop that mess and you never did.
That's right.
You kept looking at it and you thought you was hurting her. But guess what? You was hurting me and your relationship.
That's right.
Because, listen, you think I'm going to let you in my heaven? And you was adulterous to me?
And never repented, never made it right. And another thing, we're never to put love anyone above God. Not your children, and that's in the word. Not your spouse, your parents, your kids. And I know that sounds like, whoa, but it's the word. You can't just take bits and pieces out.
See, I'm going to be transparent with you guys, and I really don't care. For 11 years, well, longer than 11 years, I always used sex to get back with somebody hurting me. That's what I did. I used it as ammunition. They hurt me, I'm going to hurt them the same way, right? But see, what God told me was, Jason, you're not hurting him. You're hurting yourself. You want to know why women has come in your life and cheated on you? Because you've been cheating on me for years. That hurt me to a bone. And the reason why it hurt me, because I do love God. But I didn't realize what I was doing. And when I found out what I was doing and come to repentance, that's where God said, okay, we're on the right track now. I forgive you. I don't even remember it. I told it from the east and west. That's how good and merciful our God is.
Yes.
But sometimes we are dabbling in stuff. We don't have a clue what we're doing.
Right.
We just think, well, I'm just hurting her. She hurt me. I hurt her. You know, this is the way it goes. And I've always used sex to hurt women because they hurt me. This has been going on for years, years on top of years. But I wonder why I got cheated on all the time. But I'm going to tell you why. Because I was cheating on God. That's why. See, your relationship with God is more important than your relationship between husband and
That's
wife.
Right.
See, if you're trying to be in a relationship without God, you might as well just get rid of it. Unless y'all both follow the devil, right? I mean, if y'all both follow the devil, y'all might make it, you know. But I'm not sure about that either, because the devil paints a pretty picture, but in the end, you're coming to something that ain't great. He's always got a pretty picture to paint at first, but the end of it is not too great. But let's go on right here right quick. I know our time's limited tonight, but we will. Next week we'll be on Miracle Night, but the next week after that, guys, we're going to be doing Marriage 101 again.
Every other Wednesday.
We're going to do it every other Wednesday, okay? Every other Wednesday, we're going to have Marriage 101, so stay tuned for that, and I'll put it on our radio to let you guys know the dates and everything. Well, not the dates, just every other Wednesday. Okay. It says, railings and such like this, which I tell you before, I have told you from time to past, they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know how I know you're walking in the Spirit? You got love. You know how I know you're walking in the Spirit? You got joy. And you got peace, right? If you don't have these things, guys, you're not walking in the Spirit.
And long suffering.
And long suffering. That means you be patient with people, and you'll be have patience with them. Gentleness. Another thing, goodness. And faith. You'll speak faith even when a negative situation comes up. You'll walk by faith. Listen, faith is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Meekness. Now, don't get this word right here as like weak. Meekness is not weak.
Just humble.
It is humble, but it's not a weakness. Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Temperance, such as this, there's no law. That they that are in Christ have crucified. Now, And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions of the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we're supposed to be living in the Spirit. We're supposed to be have a spiritual mind all the time. We're supposed to be walking in these fruits, guys. If the fruits are not manifesting, then you're not in the Spirit. You're in the flesh again. I know when somebody's in the flesh all the time, they get angry, strife, then they start talking about each other, fornication starts happening, adultery. You're in the flesh. I don't care where you look at it. And this is what God recently showed me. You are in the flesh when you do these things. And the Galatians is a mirror to your flesh. Because these are the manifestations. These are the fruits of it. Mm-hmm. These are the fruits that were in the garden, guys. That's a big revelation. That probably went way over your head. These are the fruits that Satan offered in the garden. And they took of it. Mm-hmm. Now look, does a fruit, what God told us to walk by faith. Faith is trusting him, right? Did they trust him with the apple or the mist and obey what God's? No, they didn't. The fruit on the apple. So these are manifestations that the flesh will show you, mm-hmm. will show you that you're not in the Spirit. But if you love, now you got to get what love is, guys. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Love is long-suffering, but love does not rejoice in evil either.
Nope.
It don't. And love protects. Corinthians talks about what love, I mean, 1 Corinthians talks about what love, 1 Corinthians, I think it's, no, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I believe, talks about love. Love is the greatest. Love is something we need to really walk after. We need to practice love. Because love can, it keeps no record wrong either.
No, nope. True love has no conditions.
So if we are walking in the Spirit, we're going to manifest love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, such there's no law. See, every time you walk in the flesh, you're still getting judged by the law. Yes, you are. But if you walk in the Spirit, there's no judgment. Otherwise, you're going to get judged for everything you do in this body. You'll still get judged. So here's what I'm saying, guys. Galatians 5, read it for yourself. Meditate on it. That way you can practice walking in the Spirit. He said, let us also, listen, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in it. What is he saying? Walk these things out. Practice goodness, practice gentleness, long-suffering, practice these things. In afflictions of the lust, we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. So he's telling you, just don't look at it and read it, do it. Follow after it. Yep. Otherwise, used to when I first got saved, somebody's being so mean to me at work. You know what God told me to do to him? Love him. Just love him. Bake him a cake. I bake them cake every day. You don't do as they do. They might be hating on you, but you don't hate on them. If so, you're walking in the flesh. Mm-hmm. You are. I don't care what you say. We got to crucify the flesh. We cannot do the things of the flesh no more. Just like I heard a woman on TikTok, and I'll say this and then. Woman on TikTok said, look, what clothes are you going to put on in the morning? That don't fit me no more. If I'm a child of God, I don't act that way anymore. I don't do them things anymore.
That's right.
I don't look at women on the internet. I don't look at lust. I don't go behind my wife's back and look at things. I don't do that. I'm not him anymore. The old man has died.
That's right.
But here's the thing. The old man will try to raise back up, but you got to crucify him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's going to help your marriage, guys, because I think a lot of our marriages, we're in the flesh. And if we're a Christian marriage and walking after God, guys, you're always going to have problems when both of you are in the flesh. I can tell when my wife's in the flesh all the time, when she comes against the authority of God up here, I said, yep, she's out of order. I know it. There's no doubt about it. Because in the spirit, I'm the leader.
That's right.
You don't come against the leader of the home. I don't care what you find flaw in me. Because that's how God ordained the home to work. He come through the head and to the tail. But it's not to hurt her, control her, or I'm your boss, give me 50 push-ups. No. It's to protect her. It's to protect her because God has gave me senses that he hadn't gave her.
That's true.
He's gave me eyes to see. He's gave her ears to hear. And notice, you know, what ponders me, the enemy never did come to Adam. He didn't. Why did he come to Eve? Because she could not see. She couldn't see. Adam saw. He had eyes. He had eyes. But the ear, listen to this. The woman didn't have eyes. She only had ears. Now, I want you to close your eyes and try to find your way through your house just by hearing. That's hard. But see, that's why it's important for marriages to become as one, because my gift helps hers and her gift helps me.
That's true.
Why do I say that? Because her gift shows me how to communicate. My gift shows her, hey, he can see far ahead. And I've seen man do it. Oh, don't do that, baby. Don't do that. I feel like something's going to happen. I've said that for many years to protect my family.
Yep.
I see something coming before it does. She can't see that.
That's true.
Because a woman is present. She likes present things, now things. She don't see the future. The man does. I mean, read it for yourself. Adam saw the future. That's why Satan never did come to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he saw the future. Women can't see the future. I don't care how much they say they can, they can't. A man can. A man can see stuff ahead of time. Let me show you one example and I get off here. The reason why I say a man can see ahead of time, because Abraham was a prime example. Joseph, the king of dreams. God gave Joseph a dream about his future. But all through Scripture, I never see, and I may be wrong, but I never have seen God show the future to a woman. I've never seen it. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I cannot remember reading in Scripture, never, that God showed the woman futures. He always showed men. Because God gave us a gift to look ahead. So that's why the enemy never come to Eve, or come to Adam to tempt him, because he saw the future. She didn't. She only knew the present. And I'm going to tell you another thing, too, why she fell into it, too. Because her husband wasn't paying attention to her. Because ladies like attention. That's the number one key. I mean, when I was back in the day when I was a player, I was a player. I used to tell ladies what they want to hear. And they'd believe it. But see, they like talk. And they don't realize a man can deceive them so bad as saying, well, this, she's so beautiful. Well, in their mind, they're thinking, okay, you're uglier than the rocks. You know what I'm saying? It's not a true felt heart. But a godly man is going to tell you the truth.
Yep.
He's not going to beat around the bush. All right, guys, you got anything else?
No, not tonight. It's been good. I hope we've helped. We'll continue. It gets good. It gets deep. But we're sharing what we've actually been through and, you know, hoping to help someone else, you know, because it might have been easier for us, but sometimes you have to live in it and not just hear something else that somebody else has been through. It has to happen to you. And I like those learning lessons, those hands-on, because you really learn from them. It's not just something that somebody else told you. It was your actual experience, and you learned. So I hope we helped you. We'll be back every other Wednesday. He'll be back on here next Wednesday during the regular Miracle Night. But then, like we said, every other will be Marriage 101. And, you know, this is Easter weekend. I always keep in mind the death and resurrection of when you died your old flesh and you resurrected in your new. And why and how. Because if he hadn't sent his only child, his only son, where would you be? Where would you be? Where would I be if it had not been? Hope y'all have a good weekend. Let Christ rise and reign in your life.
Okay, guys, good night. And if you want to give tonight, you can give on Cash App, God Saving Ministries, on Cash App Venmo to God Saving Ministries. We got a text to give to, guys. You can text give to a number. We hadn't got it up, but if you're not on our email list, knowing where all this stuff is, but if you do want to give tonight, DM us on here on Instagram, or if you're listening from the radio, email us at jason@kingdomwealthnow.co. That's jason@kingdomwealthnow.co. Yes, Angela, we will. We'll keep spreading the word. Good night to you, too. Thank you for being on here.
Thank you. Y'all have a good evening. Good weekend. Be blessed.
We thank you for listening to the Kingdom Radio. If you would love to support us and help us reach more people for Jesus Christ, go to www.godsavingministries.com/partnership or give on Venmo at God Saving Ministries or Cash App at God Saving Ministries. And remember, let's build the kingdom of God down here on earth.